Hi, my name is Meha Jhajaria. My elder sisters always said I have a tendency to get lost. As far back as I can remember, they have described this as my blissful ability to be completely unaware of the passage of time or my surroundings, completely lost in my own world as if nothing else mattered. Growing up in a post-colonial middle-class Calcutta, where unforgiving and sharp practicality was insisted upon at any cost to ensure stability, my so-called ability was not the most desirable. As a child, I looked for stories everywhere and frequently got obsessively lost in building absolutely anything out of whatever I could get my hands on. Through my early explorations, I realized there was not much I could not make out of paper, white glue, and some thin stick hairs from the coarse brooms back home. These were my first attempts at telling the stories in my head through three-dimensional structures. The turning point for me, however, was beginning to draw. Everything quickly turned into lines and contours that I could observe for hours before I drew them. Over time, I poured everything around me into my drawings, including the sheer volume and busy nature of life in old Calcutta. Soon, drawing cemented its status as the most accessible medium through which I could tell my own stories and ideas, and my old ways of building were shelved for a while. Indeed, drawing and building things were always deeply personal passions, and yet, somewhere down the line, they became more than just fun. Unconsciously, I was using drawing and building as a liberatory practice. I spent hours on methodical details, immersed in the calming repetition of the process. The sheer intimacy of the intricate detailing itself had the ability to draw me in, serve as a refuge, and as an outlet to get lost in the layers. This is now my anchoring point, and I keep returning to that experience of getting lost in the intricacies of my work. The natural progression of my passion to tell stories and use ideas that create moments has led me here, to this group of objects I call headspaces. These are real, physical spaces that capture thoughts or worlds that have the same qualities of repetition and detailed layering as my drawings. These headspaces can be viewed through different entry points and allow the audience to use their eyes to look inside, while at other times actually encouraging them to put their head inside the structure. The interiors of these structures are both intricate and methodical, urging the viewer to explore the details and construct the hidden narratives. Depth, perception, and light combine to challenge the reality of what is being viewed. I'm trying to evoke emotions, whether it be a sense of calmness, discomfort, or even nothingness. The headspaces are also intentional in nature, since the viewer has to choose to look inside, choose to enter these worlds on their own accord. The conception of this body of work came about as an unexpected surprise. It was at a time when I had reduced access to material things in my life. I was fast finding that in the adult world, my experiences and thoughts as a queer, trans, South Asian boy were not afforded much space or even allowed to exist. Thus, it was natural that the work I wanted to create took up the radical act of explicitly embodying myself. My stories and I quite literally take up space in this work. Coming from a childhood of little exposure to art history and visual culture, it is important for me to stay true to my roots, to the creativity I saw around me born out of emotion and environments at home. No work exists in a void. It is always raced, classed, and gendered by the virtue of the circumstances and the identity of the artist who created it. Each headspace that I have made is significant to an experience I have lived, and each structure holds thoughts that I've actually had. While I will not go as far as to assign particular meanings to my work, I will ask that when viewing my work, audiences be ready to reject an apolitical approach and instead challenge their beliefs on gender, race, caste, and societal norms. I strongly believe this practice can allow audiences to understand and make room for the non-linear perspectives of artists who make up countercultures. By this, I simply mean that my work must be viewed with some attempt at centering the politics of my identity, myself, as without it, these perspectives would not exist. This series of work satisfied my need for a tactile experience of creating, in the range of ways my hands and body move to create something. It is also important for me to carefully consider the cost and accessibility of my materials. The materials I use have been chosen for their accessible and multi-purpose nature. For example, recycled cardboard, paper, wire, beads, scrap cloth, and string. This body of work has felt more and more like a series of encounters with creative problem solving as I try to find the best approach to construction. The event of making has felt like going down a rabbit hole to create my own rabbit hole. It is me circling back to my childhood ways of naturally creating anything out of everything, before I even knew to call it art. It is a way to permanently hold my feelings and experiences in a very real and physical occupation of space. In this body of work, I have tried to capture and recreate my own private headspaces and risk letting audiences inside.